Thank you. Thanks so much. Please be seated. Well, before we get started even, I was wondering, I'm going to put T on the spot here. I was wondering if you, she's looking at me like, ah! Would you like to come up here and just share what happened to Bubba? I was thinking about it, and I think it's just the perfect opening to what we're going to get into today. And meanwhile, you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4 and pull out that paper that you had passed around earlier in the morning.
Okay, so I think it was maybe Thursday night. Michael and Bubba were playing on the couch, and we have a couch that kind of has big pillows on it, but the back of it's really hard. And so Bubba like jumps and turns and bangs his gum on the back of the couch and got like a huge slice. It was really deep, blood everywhere, nose bleeding, all over the carpet, bathroom, spitting blood. And it was kind of scary, you know, and we're looking at it, and I'm like, I think we need to take him in. I think we should take him to the emergency room. And the first thing he says is, I don't want to go to the doctor. God says I'm healed and there's no pain. And we're like, okay. Well, I guess you're healed and there's no pain. And so he did a wonderful prayer of healing and just said that he was healed and there's no pain. And every 5 minutes was in the mirror looking like, there's still blood, it's not healed yet. And we're like, it's healed, you know, just give it a second. It's still blood. It's okay, you're healed. And so it was just awesome and inspiring, and, you know, that's how easy it is. Like, you believe it, and you're healed. And now it's perfect. So. Yeah.
I thought that was just so perfect, because he just, that's what we need to strive for, is this childlike confidence. Well, God told me it was healed, so it's healed. Well, that's the topic that we're going to get into today, is the ministry of healing. And I want to first read in Luke chapter 4. This is the verse that we're going to look at, because, of course, this is a huge topic. But we are going to look at the ministry of Jesus Christ at the opening, and what God said, what he said himself that he was going to do. So begin in verse, 14. This is right after he returns from being out in the wilderness, right after the temptations. Chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the what? Spirit. Into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. They were astounded at his teaching. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, I got to stop here a second because, you know, it wasn't a book like this with a nice, beautiful binding and leather and all that stuff. It was a scroll, and it was rolled up. So he had to have studied the scriptures well enough that he knew how to unroll the scroll to the exact place where this verse was. So it shows so much about how he had spent time as a youth really learning the scriptures. And when he opened the book, or the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He stopped at the exact right place in Isaiah, too, because the next phrase after that is, is about what's going to be coming in the future, the day of vengeance of our God. And that one hadn't come to pass yet. But this, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So what I want to look at today are these phrases in this verse, because it is about, if you look on your paper there, you can see this is the announcement of the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry, right? And this is what he did. I mean, you go immediately after this section in Luke and you start reading about miracle and people getting healed and exactly what these phrases say. But the thing I want us to keep in mind, because we are going to look at it in terms of Jesus Christ today, but he has given us the right to use his name in this exact same ministry. So we can never forget that. We have Christ in us. We just sang it. And God is our Father. So on Father's Day, you know, it's one of the greatest things to think about is that he put his seed in us. And we have all of the power and the ability that is in that same thing where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he anointed me. Well, anointed is the word Christ. So he anointed us with that same power that Jesus Christ had and had operated in his earthly ministry. And we're to carry it forth. And then the third thing to see is that everyone who is healed in any category, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, goes through this process. There's a process that's described in this verse. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes different sections of it are speedy, where you can't just analyze it all out. No healing is exactly the same, but they all have these elements, and that's the other thing that I want you to see today, is that there's a process and there's a purpose that God has for each one of these phrases in here. Bethany, would you mind turning that fan away from me? Thanks. All right, so verse 18, you ready? We are going to compare it to where it's quoted from in the Old Testament. And rather than have to have you flip back and forth from Isaiah 61:1 to Luke 4 and then back and forth and back and forth, I just wrote it on the paper for you so that you could see it and we would be able to look at each phrase. So you see there's Isaiah 61:1, and I'll just read the whole thing for you first. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." All right, so already from the get-go, you see there's a little bit of variations. And so what I want to do is just go through each phrase briefly, and we'll learn some things about each phrase and what it means, all right? So in the first phrase, in Isaiah, it says, "Preach good tidings to the meek." And in Luke, it says, "Preach the gospel to the poor." And you go, well, meek and poor is not the same thing. What does that mean? Well, in Hebrew, even in Hebrew, the word poor can mean either financially poor or afflicted or needy in some way. And it can also mean meek. If you think about it more in the idea of afflicted or needy in a specific way. So this is how you can see that it applies to a lot more than even just physical sickness. Because any kind of need, if it's an emotional need or if it's a mental need or something you don't understand, all those are in the category of sickness of some kind. See, and it makes you have a need. You are needy and so poor. And then it's also kind of a play on words, because if you put the element of meekness in there, it says that the first thing that happens is we need to preach the gospel or preach the good news to those who are in this state. And if a person's heart is meek and they realize, well, yeah, I am needy. I don't care who we are and how many times we've been delivered, there's parts of our lives that are needy, right? So this is why I'm looking at it today. Because I don't think there's anybody, not all of you, not anyone listening to this CD, that doesn't have a need of some sort. And that's not the problem. The problem is to be meek enough to say, okay, I'm going to listen to the word and put it in my heart. And that was in the manifestations too, remember? It was like, I've told you, this is what I want for you. And if we are meek, then we often can get healed just by hearing the word. You put the word on in your heart, put the word on in your heart, put the word on in your heart, and all of a sudden it just goes click and sinks in to the very fiber of your being. And that's where faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing by the word. So let's look at the good news that God has here. Flip over to Psalm 103. This is one of my favorite psalms. I had to do this week too. When I was going to Albuquerque to be with a friend of mine who was in the hospital, I must have eaten something strange and started having some digestive problems right before I was going to get on the airplane to come home. And I was like, oh no, I can't do this. this is not good. Because, you know, you're stuck in this chair between all these people, right? You can't move. So anyway, I was praying and I was, you know, putting the word on in my mind. And then all of a sudden I remembered, like, oh, why don't you ask one of the believers to pray for you? And so I happened to be, just before we got on the airplane, I was talking to Vicky and I said, Vicky, I need you to pray for me right now. So she did, and like, boom. Everything just settled down. It was fine. I was able to get home. I was so blessed, but I had to remember the word, you know, and go, okay, well, if you're not getting healed just by your own believing here, then let's go have someone else pray for you. Look at Psalm 103. These are just such beautiful verses. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Only some, only part, maybe only sometimes? No, all. That is the truth of the word. All thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Our Father is so, so loving that he provided this because he knew that there would be times where we would be needy in some category or another. Go look at Isaiah 53. This is another, of course, beautiful passage about the suffering servant and what Jesus Christ did to provide our healing. And we're just going to read the verse 3 and 4 there. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He went through being despised so that we could have healing. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Afflicted. So there's the same word. See, he was afflicted so we don't have to be. It's just even picturing that he carried our pain in every category. He carried our sorrows. See, it's good news. It's what we need to be preaching. And we need to say it more and more and more and more until it can sink into our hearts. God is love, and God forgives every single thing. Remember back in Psalms, he forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. They're tied together many times. Sometimes sickness is caused by sin, but not always. But they are interrelated in that sin or the sin nature has caused our physical bodies to deteriorate. So even if there is no direct sin, then it's the result of our sin nature. So that's why you see sins and sicknesses tied together a lot of different times. So preach the gospel. In Aramaic, the word preach is the word sabar. And I started a business a long time ago doing accounting. I called it Sabar Computer Services. And everybody, you know, had no idea what that meant. So it was a great opening to say, well, but sabar is the word hope. And so it's also the root verb for the word to preach. Because if you preach the good news, is there anything too hard for God? No. Then it brings hope. It brings that first bit of hope that you go, well, maybe this is for me. I could have this. This is real. This need in my life can be met. So this is the first step. And as you can see on the chart there, you see I endeavored to sort of capsulize what each phrase means. So the condition is you're afflicted or needy, and it means needy. And the healing process has to do with preaching of the word, and it gives you hope, which leads to faith or believing. So you see how I'm getting into this now? All right. The second phrase, go back to your verse there and see. In Isaiah, it says to bind up the brokenhearted. And in Luke, it's to heal the brokenhearted. Now, I told you that I believe that these phrases apply to every kind of healing, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional. And here, it's called brokenhearted. And the reason why I don't think that this is only talking about, you know, someone who has their heart broken emotionally, but every time you get any kind of a disease or sickness or hurt, it breaks your heart. It causes that thing in your heart to just go like that, you know, I can't describe it, but you know what I'm talking about, where there's almost a hopelessness or a feeling of being a victim in some respects, and not that we're victimized, but we are victims. We're victims of the fact that we have this sin nature, and we have physical bodies that are deteriorating every single moment. But that's where you got to put the thing in there, see? But the ministry of Jesus Christ and our ministry and how God heals is that he binds up the brokenhearted. So we need to look at what does binding mean? And so the picture I always have about bind up the brokenhearted, what it means is to apply a bandage to the hurt. Now, if you have a cut, let's just look at a simple cut. It starts bleeding. What we need to do to take care of a cut is you have to cleanse the wound out, and then often we put some soothing salve on it of some kind, you know, Neosporin or some kind of a salve, right? And to me, the salve that God puts on our physical and mental and emotional wounds is the love of God. I call it the love of God salve, you know, because there's a cleansing of the wound, which may or may not have to do with some forgiveness of ourselves or anything to do with that. There's a cleansing, then you put the love salve on and then put a bandage over it, right? The bandage part is the bind up, where sometimes there needs to be time. I told you at the beginning about the what I said, that this is a process, and sometimes you go through these steps or different phrases very quickly. Sometimes they take time. Now, there's 9 manifestations, right? 2 of them are miracles and gifts of healings. And that's plural, healings, okay? Gifts of healings. So you can be healed over and over and over and over again, and every time you get healed, it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. Now, those are two separate manifestations. So sometimes you get them working together and boom, you're healed just like that. And no consequences, no symptoms, no nothing. You just walk away free. Like even what happened with Bubba when T was sharing is, you know, yes, he was healed. The bleeding stopped. There was no more pain. But then there was still a couple days of like, you know, his gum was a little sore. But there was a miracle because it, you know, there was a deep cut and then it got healed right then. Anyway, they're two separate manifestations, right? So sometimes you get them working together, and sometimes there's the gifts of healings that takes a time and a process. Is either one of those better than the other? No. So I really believe that we need to stop being critical of things that take a time, and that to really rejoice in the healing, whether it takes time or it's an instant miracle. I mean, praise God for the miracles. You know, there were some miracles when we went to the healing conferences last weekend. There was also where it just started the process. And that's what one of the main things I wanted us to see today is we can rejoice about both. And our testimonies of seeing other people delivered and being able to grab onto that, like Katie was telling me that when she heard the story with Bubba, it just did something in her heart and it put it together. So that was the word coming there and then the bandage going on, going, oh, I can have that too. I can do that too. This is for me. This is for me. I'm preaching this to me today too. Okay? Anyway, so you have the bandage on all that. And sometimes the process is fast. Sometimes it takes time, but it's not any less of a healing. Look at Matthew chapter 9. This is the record of the man with the palsy. And he had four guys carry his bed. And they had to muscle their way into this room where there were a whole bunch of people that were all crowded around and they couldn't get in, but they really wanted to take the man who needed healing in so Jesus could minister to him. So the first thing that I see in this record, we're going to start reading in verse 2 of, I said Matthew, right? Matthew 9. The first thing that I see in this record is that there was an element of seeking, of desire. Not only the man who had the palsy, but also his friends, these four guys that brought him, they wanted so badly to bring this man to Jesus Christ so he could be healed that they did anything and everything that it took to get into that room. And this is also a really big key part of the bind up the brokenhearted, because say you've got a cut and you just, oh, I'll just let it bleed, it'll heal. No, right? You got to like go seek for what's the answer, what will fix it. And if Neosporin doesn't work, then you try something else or whatever it is. See, don't give up. That's the main thing in here. And so, okay, let's just read it here. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, whose faith? Their faith. Yeah, not just the man who was sick's faith, but their faith. That's why we are in this thing together here, you know. If we want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, we want to see people get healed, then we as a group, raise the level of our believing together, and then we will see it more and more and more. So Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Preach the word. Hey, there's hope. Hey, you don't have to stay like this. Hey, there is an answer. Hey, be of good cheer. The first thing he does is preach to him, and then he says, Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk?'" Verse 6, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house." It's so wonderful. Now, in this case, the man did have sins that needed to be forgiven, right? Well, remember the guy who was blind, and he was born blind, and the Pharisees were going, "Well, he must have sinned. Who sinned, his parents or him? Who sinned? Where's the sin? We got to pin down the sin," right? And Jesus said, "No, there was no sin. There was no sin at all in that case. Yet the man was born blind and had been blind his entire life, but there was no sin." So the other key in here, next to seeking, is that no healing is exactly the same. So every time you see even something that's similar, we have to remember that you need the revelation for what to do in that case. And you can't compare. It's fresh. It's like start all over. Erase. You know, I say that a lot, don't I? Erase. Okay, well, we erase our preconceived notions of exactly how it's all supposed to be, and then God can work. And I know, Jeannie, you've seen that over and over again, and I have too. It's like, catch yourself. Oh, this is not the same thing. Wait a minute. We need fresh manna for today. All right, let's go back to the next phrase. In Isaiah, it says, "Proclaim liberty to the captives and preach deliverance to the captives," is what's in Luke. Now, captives, it's also a really very vivid word here. It means prisoners of war who were captured at spear point. Okay, I gotcha. Or held in shackles or bonds like a slave. Whoa, that's pretty heavy stuff there. Captives. Now, slaves, this phrase here has elements about the Jubilee year, because the acceptable year of the Lord, when Jesus was preaching and walking and doing this ministry, was a Jubilee year. That's partly why all the crowds could all come and be with him all the time, was because they weren't having to be home taking care of their fields. Isn't that wonderful? But the Jubilee year was a time where every seventh year you were freed from the debts and obligations that had been accumulated before. And so if a man of Israel was a slave, they were set free during that time, during the time of the Jubilee. Jubilee was every 50 years. 50, okay. Anyway, at that time, they were released from every debt and obligation that they had accumulated over that period of time. So, proclaim liberty to the captives has this idea of being released from every debt or handwriting of sin that was against you. So, ooh, what verse does that remind you of? Colossians chapter 2. And to be delivered, or the deliverance part of it, was where you would loose the bonds or set the person free from these debts and the captivity that had bound them. Colossians 2, verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances." There was a big, huge, long list of everything that was against us, and it had accumulated over a long period of time, right? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. See, those things had bound us and made us captive and basically like held us at spear point. I got you! And wouldn't be released. But Jesus took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So not only did he take the spear away, you know, but he loosed the bond so that the person was not a slave anymore. And this is a common way to describe what I think this step in the process of healing is, where there's the bonds are burst. And that's talking about that, and you can look it up later. It's Psalm 116, verse 16, is an example of bursting the bonds, where you untie the shackles, okay? You're like, you pretend you're in the stocks, right? And then you untie the stocks and let the person be set free from that. In fact, there is a constellation in the stars that talks about Jesus Christ, and the Greek name is Perseus, but what it means is the breaker. He breaks those bonds. See, he breaks the captivity that holds us. If you also just go back a little bit to Philippians, you can see how when this is the ministry of Jesus Christ, right? But we also have the authority to use his name. And I just want you to see something in Philippians here. In verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now look over at Ephesians chapter 1. This basically is talking about the same thing, about how he's the head over everything. There's nothing that's not under his feet, right? Including every named sickness that you want to name has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. So you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you have X. That's a name, right? It's a name of something. But that name that is named still has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. It has to bow. It's just a name. And one of the things that I learned going and really helping my friend through this situation that she was involved in, and it was a name. And every day we were confessing, that name has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. This is the truth of the word. God is faithful. So that was already combining these elements, see, of preaching the word. God is faithful. He will not let you down. His love is wrapped around you. And then binding on the bandage of love, going, stop condemning yourself. There is no sin. Because one of the things that her question was, well, if this happened to me, then I must have sinned someplace. And she couldn't figure out what it was that she had sinned. I said, well, that's because there is no sin there. You can't take sin to be there when it's not. All right? But there still didn't need to be the love bandage on there. And soothing and time for there to be a process. But at one point in... right after the second day, she was in the hospital still. We both knew that the captivity had been broken. It was just like, it was gone. It was like the shackles had been set free. So I just wanted you to see that about this name. Any kind of sickness or a mental disease or anything, it's just a name. That's all. It's a name, and it must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on and look at the next phrase. Just a side comment here too. People talk about pleading the blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, right? So that's a huge part of our deliverance, and what we have in Christ is we were set free, we were washed, and the forgiveness of sins, like I said at the beginning, because sin has a lot to do with sickness, that's been dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. But where is the healing? It's life is healing, and healing is in the power of the resurrection. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that was upon Jesus Christ, right? To do these things, to preach, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. It comes from the Spirit that's within us, which is the power base, not just the blood. Now, you need the blood, but you need the power of the Spirit if you're going to really, really see healing in operation. So the next phrase. In Isaiah, it says, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and in Luke, it's recovering of sight to the blind. Now, on the surface, again, this doesn't look like they're exactly the same. But if you think about blindness and what blindness is hear no evil, see no, right, no. It's opening the eyes so you can see. And eyes in the Bible has a lot to do with understanding. So a person can be blind physically, obviously, but when we don't understand, that's also called blindness. Or you can be bound by that. Because if things don't just really kind of mesh together where you really get how this is all going to work, then there's a blindness to that. And it has to do with understanding. Look at Isaiah chapter 42, and I think we'll see a little bit more how this works. Isaiah 42. So the way I see this part of the process is that once a person has the bonds burst, then there needs to be a new understanding come on where there's light. There needs to be lots and lots and lots and lots of light so that we can establish new patterns of thinking. Isaiah 42, verse 7. This is another similar prophecy as the one in Isaiah 61. It's talking about, you can go back to verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So now you got to see how this works. See, the person was a prisoner, right? Now, they got their shackles taken off. But they're not out of the prison house yet. So the next step is, get out of the prison house. See, don't just stand there and go, yeah, I'm free. But don't change anything, because we need a renewed mind. We need to replace those bad thoughts and patterns with the new understanding. Go also over to Isaiah 49. So it's talking about going out of the prison house. See, recovering of sight to the blind. Go out, get moving, do something, go somewhere, change your life. Have a new vision. Remember the time when Paul and Silas were in prison, and they got released there, and then the prison master thought that they had skedaddled and left the prison, so he was going to kill himself because he knew that they would have the Romans would have killed him because he had let the prisoner go. And Paul was, no, we're still here. They had been released, but they were still in the prison, right? Okay. Isaiah 49, verse 9. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. So the thing we need to talk to ourselves about is go forth, you know, let's get busy. Let's go out and live in the light, get more light, change our thinking, and have the opening of our eyes to become able to just get out of the prison house. Teach new habit patterns of thinking and what to do after you've been delivered. All right, last phrase. You go back to your paper, you can see that in Isaiah 61, verse 1, there is no answering phrase to the one that's in Luke 4:18. The last phrase of Luke 4:18 says, set at liberty them that are bruised. It's not from Isaiah 61, so, wow. Where is it from? You might still be in Isaiah, so you can go over to chapter 58, because this is a quotation from Isaiah 58. And this is a lot of times happens when there's a quotation from the Old Testament in the New, where it puts two things together. Those four phrases from Isaiah 61 were what Jesus Christ said, this day this is fulfilled in your ears, right? But then he added another one, and he put the word together for the people, and he said, this is also what I'm going to do. Isaiah 58, verse 6. This is the passage that's talking about what is the true fast. And verse 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Now you see some parallels in here of what we've already been talking about, right? The phrase that that Jesus Christ added in Luke is the one where it says, to let the oppressed go free. And this is so beautiful. In Luke, it says, set at liberty them that are bruised. But the word bruised has to do with oppression or brokenness, kind of like pottery. Like you have a bowl, and it gets smashed on the floor, whoo, shatters into all these pieces, right? Sometimes it shatters so bad, there's no way. You just, have to take a broom and sweep it up, right? But God knows how to put the pieces back together. Let the oppressed go free. The other thing I wanted you to see is that in Aramaic, the word broken is the same as back there about brokenhearted. So when we're involved in a sickness of any kind, then there is a brokenness about it. At that time, you're like pottery shattered on the floor. Sometimes maybe it's not only a few pieces, but sometimes it's a lot of pieces. How is that going to get put back together? So it's not enough to just say, oh, renew your mind. See, you want to get out of the prison, but then it's like, what else? There seems to be some piece missing. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying is the piece that's missing is go free. That the purpose of all of this healing, the purpose of the ministry is that a person be free, that they have a new life, a new outlook, and to be able to be strengthened in that so that they can stand. That's why I included the Aramaic on the piece of paper from the translation, because the last phrase is really quite unique in Aramaic. It says, to strengthen the heart with forgiveness. Strengthen the broken person or the broken situation with forgiveness. See, whenever anybody has some kind of an issue, I don't care what it is, there's condemnation that gets immediately dumped on the situation. Well, if you believe God, you wouldn't have that. right? I mean, we do it first to ourselves. And, you know, you're slapping yourself. You already believed the word. What's wrong with you? Right? Okay. Well, you go through the process of healing. You do all those things. But then we have to be strengthened to be able to go free. Strengthened comes with, first of all, realizing that God has completely forgiven the situation. And he truly wants this. This is part of, this was part of Jesus Christ's ministry as well as it is for us. I want you to go to John chapter 8. We're healed from all of the consequences and the repercussions of the sickness. That no matter what, when God heals us, then we are healed. The purpose of the healing is to stand fast in that and to not revert. Remember the guy who was at the pool of Bethesda? And Jesus Christ walks up to this man. There were lots and lots of people that were sick, but he went up to one guy and he says, your sins are forgiven you. And then later on, when he sees him, he says, you know, go and sin no more. So there must have been an issue with that man that he was healed, but he didn't know what to do with it. And, you know, immediately, like I said, you all know this. You know, I'm just speaking what is an experience common to all of us, that as soon as you get healed, the first thing that happens is, no, you're not healed. No, look, you still have these symptoms. No, you're going to go back to that. Don't worry, you can't have this. Lies, 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 lies. They're lies. So there needs to be something that we can stand in the freedom. See? And be strengthened by that. So I just thought this verse here, John 8, was just a beautiful verse about how to stand. Verse 36 of John 8. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, then you're free indeed. It's true. It's real. You see how this area is the area where we get beat in sometimes? It's the area that we need to minister to each other in and say, if the Son makes you free, then you're free. Now go tell. Because then when you speak the testimony of God healed me, it's real, because you are demonstrating that freedom, see? And then other people can see it and go, well, I want that freedom too. Yeah, I'm going to have that too, see? And we could go tell, and we can truly give God the glory in the situation. So go to Jeremiah 17. So you see these five things, like I said, they're not like necessarily step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but seeing them as a process, I think at least my prayer is that you'll see that it's like that bag that Mr. Mikas was talking about with the, here's an empty bag, but it's full of God's kisses. It's full of God's kisses for us today. They're his love, you know? This is his desire for every single one of us. There's nothing that's too hard for him. When we preach the word and it brings hope, we bind up the wounds, it gives cleansing. And healing from is allowed to happen from the inside out. You know, that's how wounds heal, right? Is from the inside. You untie the shackles, whatever is binding someone, and then open their eyes so they can understand and we need that more. We need to give each other more understanding and then strengthen each other with forgiveness. Strengthen each other with the, yes, you can stand. Yes, you are not alone in this. We are standing together. And God gets the glory then. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Well, do we doubt our salvation? We believe we're saved. Well, if God saves you, then you're saved, right? That's not very hard to believe, okay? Well, it's just as easy to believe that about healing. If God heals you, you know what? You're healed. For thou art my praise. One of the things that my friend called me the other day, she said to me, she goes, she just on the phone, she was like, I'm so thankful, I'm so thankful, I'm so thankful. I can't tell you how thankful I am. God has healed me. I am so thankful. She goes, my life will never be the same. I'm going to be praising him till the day I die. I am so thankful. I don't think I ever even knew what thankfulness was before this. Because I'll say it again. I am thankful. And that's what happened. That praise wells up inside when we get healed and we know that God has delivered us from some shackle and bond and stuff like that that is devastating. And we need to have compassion for each other. And to hold each other's hand through this so that the ultimate goal of it is that God will get the praise. Because it's not about anybody ministering. See, person can get healed by hearing the word. They can get healed by their ministering to themselves, you know. God can come right in and just set you free, boom, like that, right? Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes there's a process. But now that we've seen this process, this is the process that happens in every single healing, with every single person, in every single situation. It was the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it is our right and privilege to stand in his name and say, heal me, and I will be healed. So God bless you.